Welcome to another edition of Flea Market Fantasy, the world's second greatest Bronze Age era comic book podcast. Joining me as always is new Michael, Kevin Jank.
I'm here, and I am full of apologies for this week's issue.
Thank you.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Terrible comic book. Tell the kids what we're reading, Jank.
So we're reading Power Girl number one, the first issue of a four-issue limited series from 1988.
Yes. Power Girl.
Yeah.
And we'll get into her history, because we talked about her briefly on this show, because I remember we did a comic with Mike L. I think it was like an old Justice Society thing, I recall.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes sense. I think she was on there for a while.
So we'll get into her backstory here. But before we do, let's remind everybody, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. We picked up one subscriber this week. We're up to 183.
Lucky
Spider-Man. Yeah, Spider-Man was a real kick in the Charlie Brown's there. He did not perform for us, that Spider-Man. Yeah. I don't know. But,
I don't know. The world makes no sense to me.
I know. Okay.
See how Power Girl does.
Archie did twice as well as Spider-Man.
What the hell?
I don't understand. So, all right.
I might just want to watch the world burn.
But Power Girl is going to be huge.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm sure there's tons of fans of this series, because boy, is it a barn burner. Action at every turn.
Now, let's talk about the Power Girl. What I know about Power Girl is she's very busty. That's like her gimmick.
Yes.
So right away.
She's essentially the older version of Supergirl, but for some reason she was way more blessed upstairs than Supergirl was.
Yes. Yeah, her real name, again, this is DC, so she has like 17 backstories. But we'll give you the basic premise of what she is. Her real name was Kara Zor-El. And again, that's like Mike L with the hyphen L. Kara Zor-El.
Superman's cousin.
In theory. And her first appearance was All-Star Comics 58, 1976, created by Jerry Conway and Rick Estrada. No relation to Eric Estrada. Chips.
If only.
She was originally Earth 2's Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was because I guess Jerry Conway thought, you know, well, Earth 2 has a Superman. Earth 2 has a Batman. Why can't they have a Supergirl? So they created Power Girl.
Not be named Supergirl. We'll give her a totally different name.
Yes, that is true. I didn't think, anyway. So, and like you said, she was originally intended to be Superman 2, Earth 2 Superman's cousin.
Yep. So, yeah, just like Kara Zor-El is on, you know, Earth 1.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Now, then we had a little something called Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah. And that mucked up so many things.
I know. Because didn't Supergirl die during that Earth 1 Supergirl?
Yeah, she sure did. There's that famous cover of Superman holding her dead body on the cover. Yeah.
Why did they do that? Like, did you ever hear why they killed Supergirl?
No, I think they just needed stakes. I mean, they also killed the Flash, I think, during that. And then became Flash, so.
But then they brought Supergirl back then, right?
Yep, sure did. Yeah. I think by the time Superman died, she was back and kind of like working for Lex Luthor.
And then Superman died, but he came back as well.
Yep. So. Yep. And that's kind of when death stopped meaning anything in comic books. It was right around then.
But anyway, when Crisis on Infinite Earths, they destroyed Earth 2. They just combined everything into one.
Like, screw this multiverse stuff. We're just getting it down to one Earth.
Yeah. And I liked Earth 2. That's where all my favorite DC characters were. So one of the casualties in that was going to be Power Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then they said, wait a minute, Power Girl's still around though. So how can we explain that she survived Earth 2's demise? So, how do we do that?
I mean, it should be as easy as just being like, oh, she was on this Earth when that one exploded, so she's here now.
She was busy. She was somewhere else. But so they got Jerry Conway was going to come up with a way to do it, you know?
Oh.
But then he left DC, or he got so busy with his animated projects, because he's also doing animation at the time, that he kind of just forgot about. So they had to give, someone else had to come up with the idea.
I've got a foolproof plan, and I'm going to tell you about it just after I go walk my dog. And
then just yeah, never someday I'll get to it. But so it fell to another writer to come up with this. And the writer of this here book we're reading today is Paul Kupperberg. And mm-hmm. we've talked about Paul Kupperberg in the past year on the show. I believe he did that Peacemaker issue, if I'm remembering properly.
Yeah, that's right. So, that sounded a lot more interesting than this one. Save the
good
that stuff.
Was a weird ride, too, that Peacemaker. But so Kupperberg, he was also working on a book called, let me get this straight, because I'd never heard of this, but apparently it is a book, Arion, Lord of Atlantis. And that is spelled A-R-I-O-N, Arion. And it lasted 35 issues from 1982 to 1985. And it was based in Atlantis. And it had wizards and all kind of stuff like that, I guess. And he was writing that.
Everything we love.
Yes. My favorite things. I can't even swim. I don't want to be in Atlantis. But so that's his favorite thing there, was writing this Atlantis book. Oh, I don't know if it's his favorite thing, but I'm going to say it was. So anyway, he's doing that book.
It's something he remembers.
And they said, hey, we need a reason that Power Girl can still be around, even though Earth 2 died. And he says, oh, I got a brilliant idea. And they get into it in this issue.
Yeah. Boy, it's a hell of a time to look in on Super or Power Girl here.
But in short, Power Girl now is no longer a survivor of Krypton, like her cousin, Superman. She is now...
from Krypton.
Yeah. She's a princess from Atlantis. And yeah. She was sent into...
the great-granddaughter of some kind of Atlantean wizard.
Yeah. And she was put into some little, like, pyramid-shaped crystal ship or something and shot into space or some other dimension where she stayed for 45,000 years or something. Is that right?
Oh, 40, my God, yeah. 4,500
right. A lot of years. And during that time, she had false memories implanted into her brain, making her believe she was from Krypton and she was Superman's cousin.
This explains not at all why she looks like an older version of Supergirl. Like, why do they look so similar?
Well, she's bustier. So, you know,
well, yeah, but facially, you got to assume they look pretty similar.
But anyway, she pops out of this little crystal ship and she thinks she's a Kryptonian. But then at some point, she learns the truth that she's actually an Atlantean princess or something. What are
that
we doing?
That would be a real kick in the pants. Like, oh, man, I'm Atlantean. End it right there.
Go from Superman to Aquaman.
Oh, no.
But why was this ever thought, conceived as an idea that this would work? And who approved it? It's not like Kupperberg. Hey, don't bring umbrellas to a brainstorm session. You know, just come up with any ideas you got. So Kupperberg, yeah, fine, shoot the idea. It should be the editor's job to say, you know what? That's not going to work. Let's try something else.
Let's try anything else. Because there's nothing, even in and of itself, that's not a good idea. Like, that's a boring origin story that I wouldn't want to read about any
it's
character.
A terrible idea. just awful.
Why do you have to hide it in weird dimension for 45,000 years? Who cares? I guess because of the villain we're reading about in this issue.
It's false memories.
Wait, fighting is time for her. Yeah.
DC's just the worst. Why do we even bother? Anyway. All right,
yeah, so they mentioned her, like, there was some a hologram of her grandfather was in this crystal or something, and that's what was feeding her these memories of Krypton. But why? What was the point of that? What purpose does that serve?
They had to explain those other 30 issues of her and other titles where she was from Krypton. They had to come up with
You didn't. He's kind of like, oh, I thought, you know, Superman would look out for you I made him think you were his cousin.
I think that is kind of what they implied, right? Like, he thought Superman would watch out for her, but I don't know.
So weird.
It's just all awful. Anyway, so that's how her backstory, that's what it is in this issue. And that's what stayed until about 2005. And then they had that.
That's longer than I thought. I thought she was, you know, maybe this was, a couple of years, and then they dropped it. But no, 2005, yikes.
Yeah, like 2005, 2006 was Infinite Crisis, which I was listening to that audio book of it, and I do it when I take my nap, so I get a couple minutes of it here, a couple minutes over there.
You're in and out, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how it ended. But I remember Power Girl was in there, and I guess at some point she encounters, like, Earth 2 Superman or something, because he's still around. I don't know. But she finds out, oh, yeah, you know what? I really am from Earth 2. I really am Superman's cousin. All that other stuff was all nonsense. I don't know. But she got put back. Through Infinite Crisis, she's now back to being Kryptonian and Superman's cousin.
Was there like an ending of the issue where like she wakes up and she goes to take a shower and like some guys in there and realizes
it's all a dream. It's all just a dream. So anyway, that's her backstory, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think there'd be a more rich kind of history of Power Girl, but honestly, like, it's hard to think of any, like, major stories that involve Power Girl. At least for me, anyway. Like, I can't.
Alright, so I'm just gonna, let's just cut to the chase. When you hear Power Girl, what do you think of?
The boob window.
That's exactly right, the boob window. Her costume, now, in this issue, it's just like a low-cut white leotard. Like, yeah. She's exercising, what it is. But
it's close to make it a window.
Yeah, in later years, she would have literally a boob window where there'd be, like, you know, just a hole in her white leotard over her cleavage.
So, yeah, yeah.
And people would be like, hey.
You're like, that's weird. Like, why would you do that?
why would you just have a giant hole in your chest there? Now, there were a couple explanations offered up for this over the years.
Oh.
Are you aware of them? Oh, okay. Well, I believe one, which I probably like better, was that she said, well, she knew all the evil fellas she was chasing down, they'd stare at her boobs. So then she could get the, you know, they'd be distracted.
Yeah.
She'd get an edge up on.
That's a good one. That's like why the Punisher has that big skull, just to draw a bullet.
Yeah, draw the attention.
Yeah.
But then I heard that, like, it's kind of shaped, they kind of, like, tried to shape it more like Superman's logo emblem, but there's no, like, if his emblem wasn't on his shirt, this is kind of what her shirt would look like. So she said she wanted to have a symbol like her cousin, but she never felt she deserved it, or she was looking for, until she was waiting until she found her proper symbol to represent her that she put on her. I don't know. That's stupid too. So
yeah, that's pretty bad. I like the first one better. It's more believable.
So I don't know. But yeah, she is. That's really her gimmick. She's just a busty blonde girl. And although in later years, they started drawing her more like buff too, like a big meaty lady, you know, muscle yeah. bound. So
I like her better with the bob haircut rather than what we got in here, where she's kind of like a perm mullet almost.
I don't know what is going on with her hair. And the head to hair ratio on Power Girl in this issue is very strange. It is like, it's a short haircut, but it goes so high. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on.
Defies physics.
It's very odd. So, yeah. That's Power Girl.
Yep.
That's all you know about her.
It's really all there is, apparently.
I guess we can get into this. She seems popular, though, you know?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Boob window brings all the boys to the yard.
So we also have a couple of villains in this book, but they are really not worth discussing at all. So we'll just get to them when we get to them. Like you mentioned, the creators are Paul Kupperberg. He had 488 rating credits at DC. How about that, Paul Kupperberg? And the artist here is a fellow named Rick Hoberg. Last week on the show, you mentioned it was Cary Gamble. And he just did the cover.
Yeah. He did the cover. That's why I picked this one, because of the cover.
But I was very excited because one of the things I've learned from doing the show is I really love Cary Gamble's art. And so I was very happy. But then I saw Hoberg and like, oh, wow. So do you know anything about Rich Hoberg?
No. I don't know that I've ever heard the name before.
Yeah. So I kind of wish I still didn't. But we'll talk about him later.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, pretty lackluster, I'll say that.
Yeah, it was.
Not leaving a big impression in any way, shape, or form.
There was lots of luster lacked. I can say that. All right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this is a four-issue miniseries. And let's look at the cover, Jank.
So, wait, before we get into this, question for you. Where has Power Girl been popping up prior to this, like post-crisis, because they seem to have a rich...
She popped up in that Aryan series.
Oh, okay.
That Atlantean Aryan series a little bit. Her new origin, where she was an Atlantean princess, that was revealed in, what's that story, Secret Origins or whatever? Volume 2, Issue 11, 1987.
Okay.
So after the crisis, they had to do the Secret Origin series where they kind of said, oh, here's their backstory now. So she was in Issue 11, and that's when they kind of broke out the Atlantean princess nonsense. And then she would pop up, and I think she was in that Aryan series for a little bit. But then that was before Secret Origins. It's all very confusing.
Hmm. Okay. So I'm guessing that's why they set up all these characters and her status quo, because it seems very in-depth.
There's so much to say about how this book was written and constructed. I just want to smack them. What were you doing? Anyway. All right, let's look at the cover.
It does have one hell of a cover, yeah. So that's the best part of the book, is we got this cover. It's got the little DC circle over there in the top left, and a dollar for this book, so that's... still too much.
Yes.
But then it's crazy. Power Girl in kind of yellow, kind of gradient down to orange letters. And it's a 4-issue miniseries. And it's basically just a big shot of her kind of going through some metal, like pushing it apart, making herself a little door there. And people are shooting at her and the bullets are just bouncing off. And she's just kind of standing there with her little cape flowing in the wind and low-cut white unitard.
Yeah, she's got a red cape, blue gloves, red belt with a little symbol on it, a yellow. I don't know what that is supposed to be.
Kind of looks like something Doctor Strange would have. Maybe that's her wizard side.
Yeah. And she's got some white earrings as well. But yeah, a lot of hair.
Yeah.
It's a short haircut, but there's a lot of it. It's very high up. I don't know what they were going for there. It almost looks like she's a cone head. You know, like her head is very... I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But it's still a well-drawn cover here by Gamble, and Dick Giordano is the anchor. So,
I kind of like the cover, so I liked it.
Yeah, I like the cover. And that's where my enjoyment of this issue ended.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So we open it up when we see a big splash page of Power Girl descending from the skies, and she's in her costume, you know. And what you want to do when you're starting a mini series is you want to really grab the reader's attention right at the top.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you'll see like an action sequence, like a hero saving the day.
This is what DC used to always do, was put that big splash page of something that happens later in the issue to really get you excited.
And this issue is called Threads. So... that's nice, I guess.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of threads, I guess, woven in here. None of them interesting, but...
So we see Power Girl descending from the skies. We're like, oh, she's probably going to come down and, like, fight somebody or save the day. You know, there's probably a bank robbery going on or something. And we're going to see her, you know, display her powers and how awesome she is. But what does she do, Cenk?
Well, she just flies down, and then she's going to change her clothes because she's got to get to work. She's got an exciting job working as a owner of a, like software manufacturing programming, you know, company. They're putting out a spreadsheet program that they're really excited about. Oh boy.
That's how you capture the fancy of comic book fans.
Yep.
Show Power Girl at work where she designs spreadsheet programs. It's going to be great. And they also
be wrong. I just watched Mad Men all over again for like, you know, the fifth time probably. So you can make business interesting, but boy, this sure didn't.
No, this is not it. This is not how you want to start a miniseries off with an office scene. People talking about computer programming. And
it's not even a particularly interesting office scene, because basically the conflict is this guy is here. He wants to put in a bid to buy the place, and she's like, hey, I didn't say you could do that. And like her partner or whatever, like, was supposed to talk to her about this whole bid thing. But it's not like they're really pressuring her, it seems like. It's more just, here, I have an offer, and this guy just forgot to tell her. So it's not like a hostile takeover or something. It's not really anything that interesting. It's just like, hey, I'd like to buy your thing, and She's like, no, I don't want to make video games. I got a spreadsheet to make.
That's the other point I was going to bring up. The evil guy in this situation wants to buy her company to make video games.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What are you doing?
Yeah. This is booming.
Oh. So this whole thing is terrible. And, yeah, that's all. We should also mention at some point in this issue, she says that she learned her abilities to program computers and software through some machine where they beam the knowledge into her brain.
Yeah. So. I guess the picture is off. Maybe that's how, you know, Neo learned Kung Fu.
All right, so no jive. How many pages of office scenes do we have here to start the book? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, three solid pages. Then we get into her backstory, and she explains what we talked about at the top of the show. How she's this Atlantean princess who was in a crystal ship. For
interesting shot of her seeing Superman on one side. It looks like it's a shot of her head straight on down the middle of the panel,
yeah.
And then Superman's on one side, and then her Atlantean grandfather is on the other side. And they both have red capes and blue suits. I don't know what the symbolism is there. Maybe that's why he decided to give her these memories. Hey, this guy dresses like me.
ever since I found out about my past, I thought I knew who I was. Kara, Power Girl, cousin of Superman, but I'm someone else. Granddaughter of an Atlantean magician who lived 45,000 years ago. Pretty weird, both of them. But at least I was used to being Kryptonian. It wasn't until a few months ago I found out the truth. And then she says that story we told you. And this is just awful. Just awful.
Yeah. And also, isn't it weird then that she has Kryptonian powers, essentially? Not cool wizard powers.
Yeah. How do you fly?
Exact same powers as Superman. Yeah.
Mind over matter. She believed it. So it happened. But yeah, now we're back. We're still in the office. She's still just daydreaming in the office for three more panels. And now we see her leave the office. And then we see a guy, I guess she works with, and he kind of has a crush on her, but he can't tell her because he's a nerd. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. His hairlines are receding a little bit, it looks like. He's like, oh, this is never going to work out.
Yeah. She's the kind of girl that probably have a boob window someday. I can't even. And she gets down and she takes the subway because she's a common lady going to her job, you know?
Yep.
And she's surrounded by a bunch of people on the subway. And,
oh, God. I mean, you're Power Girl. You can fly. Why would you ever do this?
You know what you do when you want to really make a comic book exciting and thrilling? Is you have a foxy blonde lady named Power Girl. Show her taking the subway. That'll really be great.
Yeah.
But now here's also my one of my favorite parts in this book. There are so many. But they hear some kerfuffle outside. There's like a traffic dispute or something going on in a speeding motorcycle. So right away she says, oh, I better take care of this as Power Girl. So she slips off the subway train. And then to quote her, everybody's watching the speed freak. So I'll just pop up into the girders for a quick change. So she just flies up into the girders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strips down into her Power Girl outfit.
Oh, God. Yeah, those people are missing out on quite the show up there.
I know. So now she's chasing down this speeding guy on a motorcycle, and at least he's wearing a helmet, safety first.
It's a very strange, like, futuristic helmet. He's kind of trying to be Mysterio or something. It's just the weird see-through dome.
But she grabs him and stops his motorcycle, and then he says, hey, where am I? Power Girl? What happened? Like, he just knows Power Girl. Like, everyone knows Power Girl. She's famous, I guess.
Yeah. That Atlantean sorceress's granddaughter.
And he's like, I don't know what happened. Last thing I have no memory of any of that. Speeding on a hot, what? That's not me. He's like, yeah, that's you, buddy. Now, we're going to arrest you. So, but then Power Girl's trying to tell the cops, I think he's being honest. I don't think he's lying here at all, you know?
And it's like, he's on drugs or drunk or whatever.
Yeah, this guy's so high. Don't worry about it. We're going to take him back. So, for some reason, they're going to tie up his motorcycle because they don't want anyone to steal his motorcycle. So, the cop's going to go get a chain out of his trunk so they can tie up the motorcycle to a pole or something. And then what happens, Jake?
So he pops open the trunk and out springs the supervillain.
From his trunk. How that happened.
What? Apparently hiding in the trunk all day, just waiting for somebody to let him out.
I don't know. And again, supervillain, that needs to be put in quotes. Because this guy, I don't know who this jabroni is, but his name is The Force. I don't know. I tried to see how many other times he appeared in comics. I think this might be it for The Force.
He was definitely in issue 3 from what I was looking at. Apparently he already breaks out by issue 3.
But he is just a horrible supervillain. I don't know. Just awful. He wears his purple outfit with like a purple
big
little
silver thing on his chest.
And
kind of like Batwing almost.
Like a purple winged mask with glass bobble eyes over his eyes. I don't know. The goggles. I don't know.
Kind of like Hawkeye, but dorkier somehow.
It's terrible. And I guess he's just really strong. And
he's got like electrical. He's got like energy powers of some kind.
Yeah, apparently they're not electrical because that's how Power Girl eventually beats him. She hits him with some electrical.
Yeah, she like overloads him though. Like I guess he can only handle so much. So she gives him more than he can channel or whatever.
I thought he was just, all right, I guess. I don't know. Seems weird. Like, hey, Hulk, I'm going to give you more gamma radiation. I don't know. Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she gets in a fight with this Force guy and they're punching each other and, you know, he grabs her by the ankle, swings her around, throws her into like a, just the pavement. And then throughout all this fight,
because they're getting close to, you know, landmarks here. I'd hate for anything to happen to the Grand Army Plaza arch.
That would be horrible. Maybe Shazam could come down and put it back together with super friction.
Super friction, yeah.
But throughout this fight, we get occasional long vertical or horizontal panel, I should say, of just eyes, and they're just inked in like red. And yeah, like somebody's watching everything that's happening, and he's making little smart ass comments about things. She is powerful, that one is. Too bad all the power in the world will avail her not. And he also talks like a jerk, so that's gonna be a problem.
Well, it seems like he's also probably 45,000 years old at least, so I'm sure that explains his speech patterns.
I kind of like this panel of Power Girl punching and sending Force flying away. That's like the only panel I like in this entire book. And
just a lot of punching. There's that for you.
I am a big fan of punching. And he goes flying through a tree. This Force guy's pretty tough. And he's like, I want to get you, Power Girl. And they're still fighting. We see them mystical or mysterious eyes. And he grabs Power Girl by the throat. And he like puts some energy through her. And she gets all tingly inside. And this fight goes on for a while. How about that?
It sure does, yeah. They live a fight.
And they're just fighting. And I don't know. Look at her hair. Good Lord. What's going on?
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all.
All right, Jake. So eventually they get to like a construction site. Yeah. This is pretty great. Why don't you take this here?
Yeah. So there's a news photographer who is perched atop like a bulldozer. He's like, oh boy, I'm the only one on the only like reporter on the scene for this awesome superhero fight, which is totally going to be the story of the century, even though you're in the DC universe where there's superhero fights every freaking where. So I don't really think this one's going to be that cool.
Supervillains literally pop out of trunks. They're everywhere.
But he's like, oh boy, Pulitzer, here I come. And so he's standing on there. He's taking pictures. And Force and Power Girl are just kind of punching each other, still doing their thing. And now Power Girl's right next to that bulldozer. And the guy's finally starting to realize, uh-oh, because she doesn't know he's there at all. The Force just kind of picks up a van and kind of knocks it into the bulldozer and knocks this guy over. And Power Girl's like, oh, okay, I guess I better protect this guy. But then Force comes running at her, punches her so hard that it sends her flying back, and she falls into this guy, cracking his neck.
Yeah, she goes back first into him, like almost like the back of her head smacks into his face. And it's a crack. And so he's laying on the ground, And she looks down and she goes, oh, God, I hit him so hard. He
it was all that hair. That hair is like a rock.
And she just yells, force. So you think she killed him. And yeah. I actually laughed out loud.
It honestly would have been better if she had killed him.
Yes.
They backpedaled it later on. It's like,
I know. Oh. It's like, this is the one memorable moment in the whole book. Yep. Her killing some dopey photographer. That would have been great. But no, she's not.
She falls into somebody and kills them. That's at least something to remember about this comic.
But she gets really mad. She grabs an electrical pole and hits him with it, and then takes down the wires and, like you said, overloads him with electricity, and he is zaps him but good, and he mm-hmm. gets knocked unconscious. And then the cops show up. Here's another problem. The cops show up, and they are so understanding.
Yeah.
This cop, I like this cop. He's smoking a dart. He's just walking around with a dart. And he's like, hey. And Power Girl's trying to say, I didn't mean to, like, go into that guy. Like, this cop should show up and say, hey, you killed that guy. You killed that guy. What do you think you're doing, Power Girl? But no, he's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah. These things happen.
There's no conflict here whatsoever.
No.
So, the guy's okay. He's not dead. The photographer.
Yeah, it turns out he's going to, I don't know, probably be paralyzed for the rest of his life. But he's still alive, so I guess that's good.
Hey, and he got to touch Power Girl. So all in all, that's pretty good, you know?
It's a watch.
Put that in his diary. So anyway, so now she takes Force to some prison, and she has to Belle fly. Reeve. Where did she take him?
Belle Reeve. That's been in a lot of those. I think it was in Smallville and those Arrow shows. They always mention Belle Reeve in all those.
What state is it in? Isn't it in like some
state? Louisiana, apparently.
Louisiana, yeah.
Yeah.
So she has to fly. How do you think she took Force down? Like, just on her back? Or holding him like a baby? How do you think she, like, flew him down?
No. I'm guessing the police took him down and she just kind of went with to make sure it went okay. Like, in case he tries to rig out, I'll be flying overhead.
Well, that would take forever, though. Because they have to drive.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway.
She's not a very good software business owner. She takes long vacations to supervise prison transfer.
So at least we had a big fight there in the middle of the issue. So it's like, oh, this is the excitement's picking up a little bit. So how do you follow up a big fight like that, Cenk?
Oh boy, with another like 8 pages or so, 6 or 7 pages of nothing.
Yeah.
So she's talking to the warden of the prison. They're like, yeah, we got this containment device. It'll keep giving him enough power to keep him overloaded so he can't do anything. And we're going to look into his costume and try to figure out if that gives us any clues as to where he got his powers and stuff like that.
Yeah, who designed this nonsense? That's what we're going to look into.
Yeah. She's like, I need answers fast, Mr. Economos. Someone sent Force after me, and I need to find out who and why. So, yeah, that's apparently the mysterious eyes that we keep seeing, we're guessing, is the one who sent old Force here after her.
But now the mysterious eyes, they're like in a bluish background with a dark blue ink. I would have liked if they just kept them all in the pink ink as earlier, you know?
That would be nice. But now we get the excitement of Power Girl returning home to her apartment complex. Because when you're rich, you gotta live in a weird apartment complex where everybody just walks into each other's rooms.
Yeah, I think she describes it as a co-op, right? Like they all just...
Yeah. Yeah. Very strange.
And look at the... alright, so you see her walking into the place, and then the next panel on the right, we see Power Girl from behind. And she has a black bow in her hair. To like, tying off her mullet in the back. What is going on there? You see that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very strange.
It's like so peculiar.
Yeah, I don't know.
But she's walking in, her next door neighbor, a redheaded lady, she pops out and she thinks it's a burglar. And she's like, what do you mean? Oh, someone robbed you? What? Yeah, someone robbed this lady's house or her mm-hmm. apartment.
And her roommate got burgled.
No, that's the worst. They get burgled. And, so that she's talking to the roommates, and they said, oh, yeah, and what's going on? Not only did we get robbed, but our other co-op living mate, Jimmy, or whatever, I can't remember.
Yeah.
He got mugged.
His name is Garth McGarth. Garth McGarth.
What are we doing? Kupferberg, what are you doing?
Yeah. Did you even try?
So this clown, he got mugged, and apparently he just wears headbands around the house. He's still in here.
That's a recuperative headband.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And he looks like a hippie. He's an artist, and he's because he's got canvases all over the place. Yeah. So yeah,
he's
sure.
Very calm about the fact that he was mugged and beaten up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever. It's cool.
Yeah. Oh, he's an artist. He doesn't have any money or anything. So I think he said they got like $8 or something. So it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But it seems like Power Girl is like fancies this guy, right?
Yeah, it kind of seems like it.
Because she was so concerned when she heard he got mugged, she went over there immediately to check on him. And
she's like, if you need anything, you come over.
Yeah. And this guy's like right away, if you're in that situation, she says, well, yes, I need something. Can I come over? Like, that's what you do right away. But this guy's like, no, I'll be okay. Don't worry about it.
And so she has like, mommy.
Yeah, he calls her mommy.
Yeah.
she like kisses Maria him on the head.
Yeah.
Dom and Rhea. And she kisses him on the head there. And then she leaves. And now we get to see, who's this mysterious guy behind all these shenanigans? Apparently, he's pulling all the strings. He's trying to ruin Power Girl's life. And he's doing all this. He's responsible for not only Force attacking her, but for her roommates getting burgled, and for the guy getting mugged. And why don't you tell
her?
Now everybody?
He's responsible for spying on her while she changes.
Yes, he watches her shower every morning. Why don't you tell her everybody who this is? Because I know this is a very famous guy, and I'm sure you know who he is. So why don't you tell everybody who he is?
No, I didn't even know that they said, did they?
No, they didn't, I don't think. But I looked it up, and his name is The Weaver.
Oh, The Weaver.
That's why it's called Threads, I guess. He's The Weaver.
Well, he does have, yeah, he's got a lot of weird wires coming out of him, including his face.
Yeah. Very strange beard. But he's kind of like just floating in another dimension, and he's watching all this.
Yeah, he's in the dark world, the magical realm of the dark world, apparently, where he was banished by, I guess, her grandfather, the wizard guy. Banished him here, and he can only slightly influence things in the real world. I guess that's all he can do is have people get mugged. That's about it.
That's what you want in an arch enemy. Someone who can only slightly influence things.
Yeah. when you stand close enough to the wall and the signal's coming in strong enough, I can kind of do something. I can make something wiggle a little bit.
This book is the worst. Just the worst. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not good. I saw there was a supervillain fight. I'm like, this might be all right. But no, it just was not.
Yeah. Cause again, Force is not really a supervillain. I don't know what he is, but, yeah. And then, they got a couple pages,
but they didn't put a lot there.
They put a couple pages here at the end. Who is Power Girl? And they try to explain all her backstory and what we talked about at the beginning of the show. But, yeah. So.
Oof.
That's something. But that's it for Power Girl. This was one of the worst things I've ever read on the show. Because
I want to argue with you, but I don't think I can.
It just baffles me how issue one of a four-issue miniseries starts off
right.
With Power Girl changing into her office work and going into the office for 7 pages or whatever it is.
And yeah. There's so many different side plots that I don't think you need if you're just doing a 4-series. Like, if you're doing this as an ongoing, you can have all these characters and all these running subplots. But in a 4-issue miniseries, you don't need all of this, all these side characters.
And Kupferberg is just assuming everyone knows who these people are and gives a damn.
Yeah, right.
I like you said, there had to be something before this. So, yeah, she had to be in something besides just that Secret Origins, right? Or was that, could that have been it?
So. They couldn't have gone into all of her living situation and work life in there. Like,
yeah, I don't care about any of these people. And you're throwing, like, all these characters at work and then at home. And, hey, I don't care.
People, Garth McGarth.
And Forrest just pops out of a trunk. And at one point when the cops are there, I think Power Girl thinks to herself, and how did he just pop out of that trunk? Yeah, no one knows. No one knows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be in there for what the fuck moments, I think, when we do the next Flea Award.
I have a cop's trunk.
Why did he pop out of the cop's trunk like that?
So, yeah, but again, you want to start off with some action scene to show her using her powers to make her.
Yeah. You could have just had her fighting some random villain, taking him down easily or something.
Stopping a bank robbery, stopping a mugger, stopping anything, just being Power Girl, doing something.
Yep.
And then you can ease into the work stuff. But yeah, and then just the ending, you end on that final page of that guy who, I don't know who he is. Like, he's not a popular villain. So would like people at the time in 1988 know who he was?
Was maybe. Was he in that Aryan series or something?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, he was. That was his first appearance. It was like in issue 25 of that or something. But you're expecting people to read that series? No one's reading that series. Got canceled.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Just needed some fruit pies or some Twinkies.
Yeah. I needed something. And again, like we mentioned, the cop, like no conflict there, even with the guy, like that cop should show up being like after her, you know, like, hey, Power Girl, you're screwing up here. You know, you're blah, 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 reading her the riot act. But no, he's just like, oh, don't worry about it, Power Girl. Everything's all right. Would you like a cigarette?
Want to have a catch?
This is just dreadful. And then that origin story, like coming into this, I had no idea that origin existed. So when I was reading that, I was just shaking my head the whole time. This is a rib. This can't be real. What is going on?
It turns out eventually it was, but that's a long time to suffer through this terrible backstory.
Yeah, nearly just 20 off. All right, so let's talk about the art now. Old Rick Hoberg. He was born in Texas in 1952. He broke into comics in the mid-70s doing some Tarzan books for overseas distribution. He also worked on a Star Wars comic strip and did some work on the Spider-Man daily strip. How about that? From 1977 to 79, he worked on such Marvel titles as What If, Star Wars, The Invaders, Savage Sword of Conan, and Called the Destroyer. Later, he also helped develop the format for the official handbook of the Marvel Universe.
Oh.
So, I love those.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, he's got his fingers in some good pies.
In the 1980s, he worked on such DC titles as The Brave and the Bold, Batman, All-Star Squadron, Checkmate, and Green Lantern. We've never read any Checkmate.
Yeah, we've got to do that.
Isn't that like a spy thing, kind of like their shield or something?
Yeah, kind of. I'm not sure if they're on the good side or the bad side, or kind of like, you know, like Amanda Waller, kind of in between, maybe somewhere. Right.
And you said Amanda Waller, like I would know who that is, but I'm guessing it's Suicide Squad. Is that right?
Yep.
All right, That's right. And he had a 3-year run on Green Arrow from 1990 to 1993.
Oh, okay.
That's 101 total penciling credits at DC. He also worked as a storyboard artist and animator on such series as Godzilla, Super Friends, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, G.I. Joe, The Incredible Hulk, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He also co-created the first X-Men cartoon, Pride of the X-Men.
Oh, no.
I love that. I love that.
I mean, the artwork is good for sure.
You have to like put it in perspective. Arcade. Like when I was a kid, when that Pride of the X-Men came out, that was the first X-Men thing ever, like outside of comic books. Like there were no movies, there were no other animated thing. That was it. So that was a huge deal when that came out, and I was over the moon. I loved it.
I mean, I still will never understand why they made Wolverine Australian.
Yeah, okay, that was a choice.
Always been Canadian in the comics.
That was a choice. That's fair. But still, it was awesome when it first came out. All right, anyway, so that's Rick Hoberg. I'll be honest. When I open this book and I'm reading this, I'm like, oh, this is clearly a novice artist who is drawing one of his first comic books in the industry. Because just like the figures, the anatomy, they're also stiff and flat. And it looks very much like a young artist. Like this is how, and he was 36 at the time, you know, and he had been in the business for over 10 years. So I was hugely disappointed when I found that out. Cause I mean, man, some of these panels, like there's that one shot when Power Girl's talking to that guy in the office and you see him, they're both from the side perspective and I don't know what's going on with his head. He looks like an Easter Island statue. And you just look at the anatomy on people and how they stand, like they're all so stiff and flat and it's just not good.
Well, when you mentioned like the Spider-Man, you know, comic strips from the newspaper, that sounds about right to me. Like, judging by this, I could see that. It's kind of, you know, flat and just kind of basic. Like, it'll get the job done enough for, you know,
yeah, a
couple images, but it's not great. Not no. very dynamic, not very compelling in any way, where you're like, oh, I want to see more of this guy's work.
And what's going on with her hair? We mentioned it several times. But you don't want to, like, he, like, would, they'd go in there and they'd draw, like, not individual strands of hair, but they would really put a lot of detail onto the hair. And that's not how you really want to draw hair. You want to make it a suggestion of hair, you know, like a line, the outline and a couple of little lines. Go look at how Paul Smith does it or something. Not like how this is, this was not good. And she doesn't look attractive.
Her, it's like most of the hair, like that Garth guy, like he spent so much time on his hair, like.
And let's be honest, there's a couple panels where she looks somewhat attractive, but not a very good looking lady in this book. And that's kind of Power Girl's selling point. She's a really good looking lady. Not so much in this. So
yeah, the kind of perm mullet just does not really work out so well.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, can I say this is my least favorite art I've ever encountered on this show? I don't know if that's possible, but yeah, it's bottom three.
I wouldn't go probably, that far.
Maybe bottom three. Just lifeless, not very good at all. Not a fan.
Yeah, that's the thing is, it's not terrible in and of itself. It's just lackluster.
Yeah, there, again, a lot of luster was lacked in this issue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there are a couple good panels. He does okay. But just, man, just overall the anatomy and everything, just not a fan. So, all right.
I mean, he draws good buildings. I'll give him that. Like,
yeah, sure.
The building looks cool. Belle Reeve looks cool. Like,
yes, he does actually. That's a good point. Really.
Yeah,
her apartment building looked aces. That was great.
Yeah, but, very good.
Humans and how they move, not so much. But all right, so there it is, Cenk. So obviously, I'm giving this a 10 out of 10. No, I'm giving this a 1 out of 10. A 1 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I wish I could say, you know, it deserves more, but it really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No part of this was entertaining other than him popping out of the trunk. And when I thought she murdered that guy by falling in,
yes,
he took back.
Leave that guy dead. No one cares. Then she's, now you got something.
She had something to avenge and like,
she's got that internal conflict, that guilt now inside of her for killing a guy. Now you got something. But instead she's like, oh, no, he's fine. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay.
Even the police are cool with what you just did. That's fine.
This is not how you want to write a story. Just don't do it. All right.
Yeah, there was no stakes at any point. That's kind of a problem.
I'd like to say we'll try some Power Girl maybe at a later date, but no, she's out of the Bronze Age now, right? So this is 88, so she doesn't really, I mean, she doesn't become popular.
Go back and look at like the, you know, the earlier, which is still Earth 2.
Yeah, oh yeah, Earth 2 I'm always in for. But I guess, when did she become, like, early 2000s maybe she became popular?
Okay. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, late 90s maybe, early 2000s.
Whenever the boob window came in. That's when
that's right.
She took off.
Science is the greatest advancement.
Let's try and put this ugliness behind us.
And, what do you got for us next?
Well, a couple months back, we did a little issue called The Uncanny X-Men, and it did gangbusters. We had a lot of people watch that video. So we're going to go back to that well and see if it's completely dried up.
There's still water there.
And we're going to go Uncanny X-Men, issue 194 from 1985. This is a great issue. And it's got Juggernaut in it. It's got Nimrod in it. This is just a great issue. So get ready. You know, we're going to come back strong from this one. Next week is going to be awesome. This is John Romita Jr. is the artist here. Obviously, Claremont is the writer. And this is
not as good as the one where the Juggernaut finds them at the bar. But.
Yeah, I almost picked that one because our buddy Jonathan the Duke mentioned he wanted that one. But going through that book, there's really not a lot to talk about because it's just Kitty Pryde being sad that Colossus breaks up with her at the beginning of the book. And then they try to get Colossus out of the dumps by taking him to a bar, and he gets in a fight with Juggernaut at the bar.
Yeah.
So that part's pretty cool. But the rest of the issue is like not a lot going on. But this issue, there's some awesome stuff going on. So.
Oh, yeah. They're gearing up for number 200 at that point.
Yeah, but so this would be pretty. I wanted to do a Juggernaut issue because we've never talked about the Juggernaut here on the show, and I was looking back through his history, and he had the early appearances in the X-Men in the '60s, and then he had that 3-issue arc with Black Tom Cassidy, like 100. Yep. Then he had an issue with the Incredible Hulk, where he and the Hulk kind of teamed up to do something like fight together for a brief.
He fought the Hulk a couple of times because. That to me is like the guy, if there's going to be a person you can have fight the Hulk where it'd be believable, it's Juggernaut. Yeah. Those two seem like the strongest guys on earth.
Then I think he had a couple appearances in Spider-Woman, and he had a couple in Spider-Man.
Sure, there's that classic story that involved like Madame Web and stuff like that, and Spider-Man trapping him in concrete.
But we wanted to try and avoid the Spider-Man, you know, because that didn't go so well.
Apparently. Toxic. Radioactive.
And he also had an appearance in Doctor Strange.
Oh, I guess that does make sense, though, because he gets his powers from the gem of Sidorak, and Doctor Strange is always using those crimson bands of Sidorak.
So. Oh, look at you, tying it together.
Yeah.
And in that issue, Doctor Strange, this was during that weird time, for some reason, he was wearing like a blue mask over his face.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I almost went with that one. But I settled on that. I almost went like issue 217 and 18 with Dazzler and Longshot.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he's a big fan of Dazzler and he thought he killed Dazzler. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he buried her alive. Jeez. So I almost went with that. But I settled on 194. So this will be great.
Yeah, right, that's a classic for sure. Yeah. Plus Nimrod. Nimrod's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if this was his first, but it might be his first appearance, actually. So, I can't think of an earlier appearance of Nimrod, so yeah, this might be it. So, yeah. All right, anyway, that'll be next week here on The Big Show. And again, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. We're trying to get to 500 subscribers, and that seems impossible. But we will keep trying. Also, the t-shirts are available, merch.19books.com.
Mm-hmm.
They are flying off the shelves. So that's
something that into existence. Yeah.
Until next week, don't get any jank on you.